Welcome to the Rosetta Health Podcast Series. The Commonwealth Health Alliance is a not-for-profit trade association of health IT companies working together to create universal access to health data nationwide. Today, we're speaking with Jitin Asnani, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Health Alliance, about his organization and the future of health data exchange. And Jitin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here.
Sure. Thanks for having us. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. And let's kick it off from the top. Tell us a little bit about the Commonwealth Health Alliance, a little bit about the organization, its mission, and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So Commonwealth Health Alliance, as you mentioned, is a not-for-profit. It's dedicated to this notion that wherever an individual goes, their health data should follow them, should be available to themselves and through their caregivers and to anyone else who they feel should have authorization to be able to look at that data and be available with regardless of where else they've been. You know, today we live in a world, we're slowly migrating out of a world where data is trapped within provider organizations, it's trapped within EHRs, it's trapped within that place or this place, or just, you know, these artificial silos that have crept up over time because of the evolution of healthcare itself. And we really feel that it's important that wherever the patient goes, that their data is available no matter where else they've been to in the past, no matter where they are here, and no matter where else they go in the future. And that the data should just be available in whatever it is that that caregiver or user, you know, has and utilizes on a day-to-day basis to take care of that patient. So if it's, you know, if they use an EHR, it should just be there in the EHR, the data for that patient to help that care provider make the best decisions he or she can on that patient. And to that end, so we have built a set of infrastructure to help us to meet that goal. You know, if our vision is that that data follows the patient, the way we get around to it is, in our determination, you need some centralized infrastructure that helps you to determine where the patient has been and be able to retrieve their records on demand so that you can, you know, submit it back to somebody who is asking for it in this pursuit of patient care. So that's what we've built, Matt. We've built this infrastructure that is a set of fairly standardized set of services that have come together in a package with a set of great APIs, you know, very, you know, open set of standardized APIs that allow EHRs and other technology vendors to be able to provide access into that network to, you know, the end users, to, you know, primarily today on the network, it's largely clinicians and nurses and the like. And over time, a greater set of, you know, participants who the patient and their providers offer us.
That's outstanding. And one of the things that I picked up from just your first answer here is that you clearly have a passion for breaking down the barriers of health data exchange. Tell us about this passion for yourself and where did it come from?
You know, I grew up initially in the financial services industry of all places, and I spent about a decade in financial services and e-commerce, and it was, every day was about trying to figure out how to build off a new innovation that took for granted that the data could flow, right? You know, financial data is exceedingly sensitive, right? For better or worse, some people care more about that data than their health data. But that didn't stop us from creating financial workflows and, you know, applications and tools and so on that a variety of users, you know, I serve B2B and B2C companies, and we could enable these great innovations that sit on top of it. And then, you know, there was a time when I was faced with a, you know, just a dilemma as to whether to stay in financial services or go into healthcare. And it was a family / geographic / career decision. And what I learned when I was making that decision is that in healthcare, we're somehow trapped, the 80s maybe. I'm not sure what era. It was an era that precedes me, I think, where we just take it for granted that the data will not move. And if you meet like doctors or patients and so on, and you ask them about their experiences with healthcare, there's a common thread of frustration because they know they can do more. They know they could have more data. They know they could, if they had the right information, the right diagnosis, so on and so forth, they can do more to treat and take care of a patient. And some of those things are really, really hard. Some of those things are not that hard. They just take willpower. And that's what it comes down to, Matt. I'm just so excited to see that we have, you know, this industry and what Commonwealth has done in bringing, you know, all these members across the alliance. We have like 80 members who span all of healthcare and health IT, from government to private sector to nonprofits to very much for-profits. And the getting all of these organizations together focused and delivering really more than anything, the willpower to break down those barriers, to collectively learn from what we've all shared and learned and done and failed at and succeeded at in the past. I mean, it's just so exciting. And, you know, that's really where my passion comes from. I would love to say that I'm a bleeding heart healthcare person, and there's a little bit of that, but mostly it's just the knowledge that if you can get it together, community, and you can do some really, really powerful things. And what more noble a domain than in healthcare to do it? And building off of technology, which is very, very dear to my heart as a recovering engineer, I should say. So that's where it comes from, Matt. That's why I'm so excited about what I do.
That's awesome. That's great. I appreciate those passionate insights there. So I'm going to shift a little bit because you talked a little bit about, you know, challenges and opportunities at the top. So you mentioned all of your members, a wide range of member organizations. And what kind of discussions are you having with your members about addressing things like the data silos and data blocking, some of those roadblocks? What are some of those discussions you all are having?
You know, the nature of the discussions has evolved. I remember when we were first forming the alliance 5 years ago, I literally had conversations with potential members who, you know, would look at me and say, look, we get it. We understand that you're trying to break down these silos. You're trying to make the data flow. You're trying to make it cheaper, faster, better. You got to realize, you know, we make money by building these interfaces that providers ask us for to connect from one hospital to another clinic, from one clinic to another clinic, and so on. So you're asking us to change our business model, potentially disrupt our revenue flow, and, you know, we're just not ready for that. And, you know, that was a conversation that was not atypical 5 years ago. Today, when I look around the room and I look even to potential members, that's not the conversation at all. I mean, some of them are dealing with it, but the conversation is much more along the lines of how do we make sure that we're not just serving the data up, but that we're serving it for purposes that we're serving the right data for the right person at the right time so that they can actually get value out of it. So it's more than just the data. It's the insight. It's the actionable insights. And how do we do that? And in the meantime, what we have across the country is this kind of parallel challenge that we have. We still have silos, you know, physician practices that are not connected, hospital systems that are not connected, even like communities that are not connected, you know, represented by, you know, everything from EHR vendors to HIE vendors and HIEs themselves. And they're all interested in solving problems in healthcare. And there are, you know, if I kind of point to one more challenge, it's that there's so many different important problems to solve. And so getting people to just agree on a minimum baseline of problems, a minimum paradigm that starts first and foremost with the individual and where their data may reside. That's a big part of the challenge, Matt. And it's interesting that in Commonwealth, we have so many members who agree that, you know, that's an important goal to have. And they're committed to trying to balance achieving of that goal relative to all the other sort of business opportunities and challenges they have. And that's view on kind of what the challenges or opportunities are for the members.
Yeah. Wow. Great insights there. And let's shift real quick and let's talk about the future of both the Commonwealth Health Alliance and also Health Data Exchange. What's your future vision?
I think what's going to happen over time is if you think about where the industry is today, we have things like Commonwealth that are just trying to create piping, right? I mean, at the end of the day, as much as we have put in a lot of sophisticated network and processes and policies, and we have a roadmap for how those things will evolve and get better and so on, it's just piping. There are exceedingly valuable things you can do with data analytics, actual disease management, community health management programs, and so on. If you think of it like a stack of things that we're trying to build, if a few years ago we were stuck with just trying to figure out piping, today Commonwealth is trying to drive that piping to just be ubiquitous and nationwide. And we see our members and just the community as a whole starting to pivot more towards those analytics and even beyond the analytics to actually managing the health of populations and of individuals from the precision medicine perspective. And I think as Commonwealth continues to grow and expand into and, you know, broaden its reach in terms of the piping, we'll also start enabling more than data to flow over the network. We'll also start enabling organizations to be able to share the insights that they want, to share the things that they've learned off of the data back through the network to those who need them. And again, it might be business partners, it may be technology vendors who are doing this on behalf of providers, it may be providers to public health, it may be other participants for whom want to participate and, you know, have the right and ability and authorization and so on to participate. But it becomes more than piping for, you know, drinking water. It becomes piping for other types of things which you'd want, which are, you know, will make more and more of a difference as we continue becoming a more connected industry, the way the finance industry and, you know, e-commerce industry and other industries have grown and evolved over the last three decades.
Yeah, wow. Great insights there. And, you know, we certainly watch the health IT trades quite often, read them every week, and you always see stories or articles or thought pieces about AI, machine learning. You see Apple getting into the game. You see technology, especially on the vendor side, really helping this transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I think it's a couple of things, actually. So there's technology. A lot of the problems you solve on the technology side from an infrastructure point of view are not difficult problems. They've been solved before. There's just not necessarily been solved at national scale, but they have been solved before. I think you hit it on a really good point there on, in terms of, for example, Apple. And I'll just use them only as an example because we've seen the e-commerce giants, those Silicon Valley giants, take forays into healthcare before, and most of the previous attempts have not been successful, so who knows about the current. But what we do know is that if they're paying attention to it and they're getting some uptake from it, then two things are likely to happen. A, they're likely to help drive the psychology of the U.S. populace towards believing that they should have the right to engage with their data and to actually be able to get their data. And that's a huge win for everybody. It's also hugely scary if you're, you know, a clinician or a provider to know that your patients may get more involved and you have to manage that somehow. You have to actually build off of that, and it probably goes against your clinical training or, you know, sort of the rules of thumb that providers use across a health and hospital system to keep themselves out of things like, let's say, legal trouble on one end. But it's extremely valuable. And, you know, if the first thing was the population psychology might be changing, the second thing is it may disrupt the kind of stuff that we're all doing, even maybe the stuff that Commonwealth is currently doing. And that's fine, because if the notion is that what we really want is for the silos to break down and for the patient data to be available to those who should have access to it, and in a seamless, effortless, timely manner, in the place and time and in formats and so on that they want it, then any sort of such disruption is a valuable disruption because it really helps us to achieve our vision, albeit through a different means, but it's the same vision. And that vision is what has always been critical to us. So I'm very excited about what's going on. I'll tell you one thing. Today was probably the fourth day in a row I had a conversation with a new organization who is interested in Commonwealth and was asking us questions. And it was the fourth day in a row that somebody from the organization asked me specifically about the consumer access to the data. And I won't go through a spiel here of how we enable it and how we're planning to enable it and how things are moving in that direction. But it was telling that in the span of 4 days, I've had the same question around consumer access sort of more times than I think I had in all of 2017, probably more than 2014, 15, and 16 combined. I mean, it's just, it's a little sad because it's just 4 days, but it's also, I think it's indicative that we are moving to an age of consumer health. And that's just wonderful from the point of view of a consumer. And I know that the provider world is getting ready to embrace it. Whether they like it or not, it's coming, and it will be transformative.
Wow. Great insights. Overall, wonderful insights today. Anything else to add? I know we covered off on a lot, but did we miss anything? Anything else before we...
You know, maybe just one thing I'll add. You know, I've talked about how Commonwealth is this community and that people are coming together to, you know, share their insights to make this all happen. In the world of health data interoperability and health data exchange, I mean, you really only have to say a few words before people's eyes glaze over. It's very sort of nuts and bolts kind of stuff. It's the stuff that makes the internet tick. And now we're trying to make the equivalent of the health internet tick. Now, the one insight I'd certainly like to share is that not all exchange is created equal. You can, you know, feel that you're a practice or an organization who's very well connected and you can get data digitally. But getting data digitally is not enough, right? I mean, most of us could get data digitally in 1995, right, before search engines became prevalent. But the way that notion that you can get data when and how you want it, when you ask for it, in a way that you actually can consume it. So more or less what search engines did for static, you know, websites is hugely transformative. And so when I talk to people about Commonwealth, I say, you know, don't get this confused. You know, this is a network. This is a hub. It is tremendously efficient relative to building point-to-point interfaces. But that's not the point. The point is When you ask for my data from the network, it tells you where it is. The data is sorted, indexed, and sort of authorized around you, around the individual who is in question. It's not just a haphazard set of connections, which, if I happen to know that the data resides for you at that hospital, and then I ask that hospital, I get it, I pat myself on the back. That's not enough. We want to be able to think about the whole person. And so this notion of person centricity in this very, very kind of technical domain of interfaces and exchange is really sorely lacking. And that's where we keep beating the drum, that it's really important to understand that not all exchange is created equal. If you're thinking about treating the whole individual, if you need to know about the whole individual, then you need to be thinking about person-centric exchange. And that's the stuff that Commonwealth is doing. And that's hopefully some of the federal regulation that's coming out will kind of also drive that kind of point home and that sort of set of technologies out there so that every individual everywhere in the U.S. Benefits from it.
That's great. That's great. That excellent points there on the person centricity side of things. That's really fascinating. And that certainly seems to be the future. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Rosetta Health podcast interview with Jatin Isnani, the executive director of the Commonwealth Health Alliance, who is kind enough to share some insights about his organization, as well as the current challenges, opportunities, and future of health data exchange. And Jatin, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's been my pleasure.